Norm MacDonald. Like Norm MacDonald. Well, maybe this is for my personal file. Maybe this is for my personal file.
Oh, it's personal. You should look it up. I might tell you one. So, I can't remember all the details of the way you did it.
Okay. Do we need to move the door to the side?
Okay, see, that would be what I was talking about, the re-explosive fireworks.
This light is made out of sun. All right? If you put it over there, it's double as a sun made with more sun.
The light in the shade is still from the sun.
Yes.
So fireworks made out of fire. That's a perfect example.
Okay, perfect example.
Glad you helped.
Sorry, Brady.
So this light is still from the sun.
That's just light that's made from twice the sun. Because it's not in the shade.
But directly.
No, it's still it's just twice the sunlight. Like when you make fireworks out of fireworks.
It's way better than making them out of rock.
How do you feel about squirrels?
Oh, let me tell you. All right.
You really stepped into something there.
I was just...
All right. We're not going off on Norm MacDonald anymore. All right.
Now, squirrels are they're super cool. They're
ninjas.
They are ninjas, yes.
Right?
Like, have you been somewhere where, like you're in an elevated area, like, but you're on the eye level where, like, you're, like, 40 foot up,
yeah.
Like, way up in the trees?
Yeah.
And you see these squirrels.
Like on a multi-story building?
Yeah, and you see these squirrels just, like, with no fear jump from one tree to the other
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you about squirrels.
Let me tell you about this.
So,
well, I'm not going to tell you that story. Because, you know, Peter would freak out. Anyway, there was a squirrel that was torturing my dog. And I went to correct the squirrel about doing that.
Yeah.
And the squirrel launched itself out of this elm tree. 40 feet in the air. Hit the ground. You could hear the wind come out of it. Poof! You know? And I was like, holy cow, that squirrel jumped a long way to the ground. It was the middle of Texas, so there was one tree. He couldn't jump to another tree. And then he just brushed it off. Took off running. You know?
See?
Anyway, that was the PETA story. Or the one I was worried about. Alright, so... My thing on squirrels, right? I think squirrels are very social.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, they get together, they make plans, they have conversations.
Yeah.
And they get figured out. And now, I think when you're, I don't know, how long does a squirrel live?
32 years, something
know.
Like that.
That's good.
67, 12, I don't know. I think they'll live a while.
Probably 8 or 9.
I think that when all the older squirrels are getting together for their squirrel planning, you know, committee poker game.
Yeah.
And the new squirrel shows up. He's like a year or two. I don't know what age they're considered mature at, but I'm going to guess a year or two.
Okay.
And I said,
Oh, no, listen. I'm sorry, Junior. You can't come in the club. Can't come in the nut house. That's what they call the club. The nut house.
Right?
The nut house.
Can't come in.
Yeah. Full acorns.
And Junior says, why can't I? He says, you haven't earned your tail yet. What have I got to do? He says, you got to wreck one car. Once you wreck a car, and we got to see you do it.
We got to see you.
You got to wreck one car, preferably near an elementary school. But if you wreck a car, we'll let you in the nut house.
So that's why when you're driving,
you see the squirrel obviously wants to get out of the way.
but then it changes its mind and comes back into the line of traffic and then changes its mind again. So he's like, he's torn mentally versus like, I want to get into the nut house and I want the guys to think I'm cool, but I haven't wrecked this car yet. I thought I did enough to wreck it. I got to come back out. It's like that. Changes direction 7 times. And you're like, is he gone? I don't know. And you're like, hitting the brake, you're short. But yeah. I think that's, so they're in their bushy tail. They wreck a car. They're in their bushy tail. But a lot of them die, you know.
Yeah.
They don't make it. And so the squirrels have done it because they're an ancient race of ninjas we already established, right?
Yes.
So Maslow's hierarchy of Laszlo's invisible hand of Darwin's theory of mitochondrial migration says
with Pavlov. Don't forget with, Pavlov.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, it's debatable. He was into some weird stuff, that guy. Anyway, what that says is that, you know, by weeding out the squirrels that can't dodge cars or can't wreck a car, the squirrels are creating, like, you know, an intrinsic group, community, carried on through the chromosomes and DNAs of car wreckers.
Yeah. All right? Yeah.
And you say, well, what would be their motivation? Why would they want to do this? Yeah. Why would they want to wreck cars?
Okay. Please enlighten us.
Okay. Well, for one, you know that in North America, we have a large an intrinsically unique mammal population.
Okay.
We have things like wolverines and skunks and possums and all kinds of, and squirrels, like our squirrels, things that aren't seen in other parts. But we also have a unique and distinct reptile population.
Yeah.
You know, we have our venomous snakes aren't found, you know, in Europe or Africa, you know, and same with our amphibians or turtles, but on the reptiles, what another thing we have is our geckos and lizards are totally different, you know, than other people's. Even in like South America, they're different. And we have newts and all these things. So, what happened many years ago? Now this is. Shortly after World War II, I would guess. It's an educated guess.
Sure. There's been many documentaries that have trained you on your educated guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, so I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shortly after World War II, the squirrel community was approached by government agents. That was interested in vehicle wreckage. Mm-hmm. And you might say, why would a government agent? Well, this government agent was a gecko. And you know him commonly as the Geico lizard.
Right.
Reincarnate just like Colonel Sanders.
Right.
So, the Geico lizard convinced the squirrels to wreck cars as a rite of passage. All right, so that Geico could bump up the rates. Now this is a known fact.
49.76%. What was my mind?
It is known that 49.76% of vehicular accidents are directly related to squirrel activity. Right? That's just accepted science.
Okay.
And trust me, because, you know,
you have an award.
I went to the science college. All right.
And you have a major award.
I have a major award. Okay. That's not it, though. Now, squirrels do another thing. Actually, when I was at science college at the University of Arkansas, we had to do a study on squirrels burying their nuts. Right. Turns out
They had ship's wheels in their pockets.
No, they didn't have any ship's wheels on them. Now, that'd be a good... I wish I made that quick, but... You're right.
Oh, if he says the words.
That would have been a good direction. But it turns out they forget mostly where they bury their nuts. So really, what our squirrels are, despite being ninjas, are farmers. So if they bury a nut and they forget where they put it, they're repopulating tree growth all over the dang place.
Okay. I can accept that.
Now, I don't know if you know much about Japanese history.
Oh. Okay, enlighten me.
Oh, well, that would be Buddhism, which is spans all of Asia, not just Japanese.
Right.
Specifically in Japan. Now, the Asagi, which is the ninja guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were farmers, right? But they were farmers of the forest.
At the forest.
Yeah, so they're like collecting mushrooms and roots and things like that. But they became what later on was known as the ninja. They're very squirrel-like in their ways. But not with the teeth, that's racist. You can't go up there. Not like that. Don't even look at me like that. Is this an old Daffy Duck cartoon? We're not talking like it's not World War II.
Wow. Oh, I'm just sitting here. Right. I get accused of this stuff.
The squirrels take closely after their Japanese ancestors and their ninja skills and their farmers. And I really think one thing we're missing on squirrels is if we get them all a little pair of overalls and a straw hat,
they'll start chewing on us. They'll start chewing on blades of grass.
Yeah, chewing on blades of grass. I think people would look at the squirrels differently if they really knew what they were doing.
But what they were, boots.
Boots? I don't see.
They could slow them down.
Yeah, probably slow them down. Probably would. Maybe that's why we won't have Southwestern American ninjas. Boots. But anyway, yeah, that's my thing on squirrels. Not running well. I need to charge.
You need to charge for this one? Okay.
Gary, based on my...
Doesn't matter, Trevor. Whatever you say is funny.
That's not...
Kinda is.
Most of the time. It's humorous, at any rate.
So...
This needs to dry somewhere.
Time for this! We're supposed to be done already.
The product label bite me?
No, it didn't. It said 2 hours.
Hey, well, you can't really even believe a product like that. Like, 2 hours. Well, that's like probably in their factory for 2 hours.
In what?
In their factory for 2 hours. Probably has air conditioning.
I bet it's really hot in there.
Or it's Egyptian.
Yeah.
Oh, you're...
Story.
You said you had something about a story about Egyptians, so it's getting recorded. It may be from my personal archive.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I like this. This is a lot of racket nobody wants to hear. I finish this.
All right, I'll pause. Yeah. The Egyptians. Back to the Egyptians.
Actually, I think it was, to be clear on that story, I think it's both in Luke and Mark. It was a parable of Christ.
As well as the Thessalonians?
No, they weren't there yet. They were the Thessalonians.
Thessalonians?
Yeah, they were all on. So the Egyptians, let me tell you about the old Egyptians there, right? So you see all these Science Channel or, you know, Discovery.com, UFO theory. Like I say, nobody knows how the pyramids were built, right? It says, like, aliens built it. All that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You
seen that?
Yeah, because they can't figure out how they knew the technology.
Yeah, and they're saying, like, even if these, even during this time, we wouldn't know how to build something like that. Like, we wouldn't have a crane that could lift a block that big, and, you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah. And then they say, in the first place, how do we even cut a block that big? Precision and all this. I say I really don't think it's that complicated. Now I'm not an Egyptologist.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified.
I am an award-winning scientist.
Yes.
But
yes,
I am
that
not,
is obvious.
I'm not an Egyptologist, and now what you got to know is that the Egyptian pyramids were made out of three rocks, actually four rocks.
Four rocks.
Yeah. They're made out of limestone, right? They're made out of granite. Mm-hmm. They're made of sandstone, and they're made of heavy. All right? Now, those three subclasses of rocks all fall into heavy class.
Okay.
All right? So that's the number one kind of rock they're made out of, heavy. All right?
Heavy rock. Got it.
Yeah. Heavy rock. And, okay, so what you got in Egypt, now people look at it nowadays, you see a very big desert, nothing but a big desert, right?
Right.
Okay.
So they think that's all they had to work with back then.
Well, hold on. Now we've seen Easter Island, right?
Yeah.
All right. What's the prevailing theory on Easter Island?
The Easter Bunny?
No. You know those big statues with the
big statue guys.
With
yeah.
the big
yeah,
schnozzes, yeah. And some of them have hats. All right.
Elongated faces.
Yeah,
right?
And they're all looking out towards the sea and everything. You know, some of them are like 12 tons and everything. And so the theory that they have is why the people died off. They're like, some Spanish explorer went there in about 1490. Oh, no, wait, that's a different choice. 1512. And found these Easter Island. They're all living caves underground. And they didn't have any trees anywhere. There's not a single tree on that whole island. You know that?
I was unaware of that fact.
Yep. Well, that's a true fact. And, I didn't make it up. It's actually true. They think they used all the trees to roll these big blocks of stone to the coast to set them up in the ground, and that's why there aren't any trees on Easter Island, because they used to pull the timber.
Okay.
Right? And you look at Egypt, same thing. No trees, right?
Right.
And I'm gonna take that.
Unless there's an oasis nearby.
Huh? I don't know. You're in a different country. Now you're in Saudi Arabia, you're in Iraq, you're in Iran.
There's no oasis in Egypt?
I don't know. Oasis is a European band. They're out of the UK. Nobody likes them very much. I don't think Oasis even likes Oasis.
Okay. All right.
I think they broke up. They got sick of each other. However, there are some Beatles in Egypt.
Yeah. All right. Got it.
Anyway, so.
Invasion.
Everybody says, look, a tree. No, okay. Now we know that, you look at 2 Kings, they talk about the exports of cedars from Lebanon to Egypt. So, Egypt was even at that time, Egypt was buying wood from Lebanon or Israel.
Okay.
Right? They really liked that cedar stuff. And, so you look at it, and I'm like, okay, so, we both got two gigantic people groups. And you could even throw Stonehenge in there, because you look around Stonehenge, there's no trees, right?
Right.
Maybe that's because of the greenskeepers, because it would block the view. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, you could throw Stonehenge in there, too.
Okay.
Now, what do all three of these things have in common? Stonehenge, the pyramids, and Easter Island.
No trees and huge, heavy rock statues.
Right, that's true. But what they have another geographical feature that hasn't been thought of yet.
Well, I'm not good in geography. So.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going to have to help me.
All right. Well, Stonehenge is close to the coast. And, Foggy
Hill. Oh, they're all close to the coast. Okay.
Right. And close to the ocean. Right. Okay. So Easter Island's right on the ocean. I mean, it's an island.
Right.
Now, Egypt, they weren't on the ocean, but they were on the Nile. Right?
Right.
Now, here's
my... Rocks don't float.
Rocks don't float. That's true.
Trees float.
Now, there's four kinds of rocks involved in these things. There's limestone. Right? Do you remember the other ones?
Sandstone.
Yeah.
Granite.
And?
Heavy.
And heavy. And all of them fall under heavy.
Right.
That's the number one, is heavy. Alright, and so, here's my theory from my most esteemed and learned science mind of technology and retroflexion and hypothesis. Alright? Now, first, you got the problem. Now, I'm just talking about Egypt here.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the other two. And I don't think there was that much craftsmanship in the Stonehenge thing.
Okay.
That's just kind of...
I always liked it, but okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looks cool, but I think it, like... Yeah, that's kind of some hacks. They're not symmetrical or anything.
Well, that's probably what I like about it.
Yeah, but, okay. And then Easter Island there, too. You know, they carved it best they could. But now, where we really get the symmetry and the geometry is with the stones used in the building of the pyramids.
Yes.
Right. And you're not just carving one rock or three rocks and putting another rock on top of it. No. There are thousands of them going up, right?
Yes.
All right, so here's my theory. Now, what do we know that Egypt had at the time? Now, Egypt is known to have the first chariots, right?
Okay.
So if you're going to run a chariot... Well, Egypt did have cats.
And asps.
And asps. But these aren't part of... So in spite of the cats and asps... Now, if Egypt had chariots, what did they have?
Animals to pull the chariots.
Well, so what's the number one animal you pull a chariot with? A horse, right? Okay. Now, what's the number one thing you make glue out of? In the old days.
A horse.
Mm-hmm. A horse, of course. That's how you make glue. Even though we switched it over to cows, according to Elmer's. But okay. Anyway. So they had glue. Right? Now you're going to build the reins for your horse. Some kind of controlling mechanisms for your chariot. And even if they didn't make the wood themselves. So you're making rope, right?
Okay.
So we know they got glue, we know they got rope, right?
Right.
We know they got a river.
Yes.
They got two of them. Yes. Right, they got two big old rivers. All right, so.
That'd be the Nile and Euphrates?
Mm-hmm, yes. Very good.
Thanks.
Well, actually, Tigris and Euphrates. Well, the Nile and the Tigris. And the Euphrates. Maybe they got three rivers. Who knows? You know, it's astronauts have debated this for many years.
Okay.
It depends who's claiming the land.
All right.
That's true. All right, so, let me ask you, if you have a bunch of rope, and what grows on the banks of these massive rivers, right?
Reeds,
right? Very good. That's
so smart.
And what else?
Grass.
Grasses, yes. And what What is our preferred method for making room?
Hemp?
Yeah, which is a...
grassy reed?
Which is a grassy... yes! There you go.
God, this is scary.
Okay, and so the Egyptians can make rope with their own resources. They can make glue from their horses and camels, right? And so what's the number one thing Egypt's covered in? Sand. Exactly. So if you have an unlimited supply of rope, a not-so-limited supply of glue, what can you make? Now, what can you make now?
With rope and glue? Right. And sand?
Yeah. My mom. Yeah, well, I need a couple more ingredients. Now, what you could make is a wicked piece of sandpaper that's actually a rope and not a piece of sandpaper.
Okay. I was not going that direction, but all right.
And that's how you can cut these amazingly square and detailed lines back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. All right.
Yeah, okay.
And you've got all the ingredients. Keep doing that.
Okay.
Now, here's the, okay, so, all right, so that's how we cut the rocks out, right?
Okay.
We still got to figure out the transporting of the rocks from this spot to that spot. Now, we know Egypt's importing cedar from Lebanon, right?
Okay.
And what do we know that the Euphrates and Tigris rivers do every year?
Flood.
Flood big time, right? In fact, their whole farming system depends on it, doesn't it? So... if we cram a bunch of floaty stuff under a rock that we've dug a canal to, mm-hmm. now we can move it to over there, right?
Okay.
We cut it out with the sand rope paper we made.
Yeah.
Sand rope, we're calling it. And now we can float it. Oh, but that's how he says, oh, well, we have it. They didn't have that much wood. They're not going to waste it on something like that. Okay, maybe not. But we do know we have rope, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, we have rope.
All right, so I'm going to put it this way. You ever see a spider's web, right? You've seen spider's web?
Yes.
Now, a very small spider that built that web can support a full-sized locust or grasshopper right. that flew under that web.
Yes.
Right? So... it's not one guy or a couple guys that, you know, grab that rock and try to move it. But if there's a lot of singing, and we know Egypt made beer, right, and alcohol involved, and you get everybody in the little community there to hold one rope, even if every person's only exerting 5 pounds of pressure, well... if you got 100 of them, you're exerting 500 pounds of pressure.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I get the math there.
And that's how I think they did it. They had all the materials to do that. They had rope, they had horses for the glue, and they had tons of sand. And I told you one funny story. It's not, there's no punchline. That's how I think they did it.
Well, that is a very, very interesting hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
Theory.
Hypothesis.
English is not my major. Yeah, apparently.
My last major was Perkins.